Welcome to Wine with HR. I'm Jules.
Hey there, I'm Trish.
Lawyers turned HR professionals. Through our company, Monarch Endeavors, we guide employers through their oh shit moments with their employees.
In this podcast, we will discuss some of the most common and commonly frustrating HR problems while enjoying our favorite adult beverage, wine.
So sit back, grab a glass if you choose, and join us as we think about and drink about all things HR.
Welcome to this episode of Wine with HR. So you might remember last episode, we discussed how you might be able to use freelancers or even part-time employees to fill certain positions. Today, we're going to be discussing looking within your company to develop the employees that you already have. What do you think about that, Jules?
I feel like the answers, my friend, are coming from within.
Oh my gosh. Another song that you're going to get in my head, and I'm going to be singing it for the next 2 days. I'm still singing, it's a lady's right and worth the fight.
I don't know where all the songs are coming from. It's just, yeah. Anyway, no, this is a great topic because we're talking not just about the employees who have been tapped for leadership or promotion, but how to develop all of your employees. But before we get there, let's talk about what we're drinking.
I hope everybody could hear that little cheers. Yes, Julie and I are in the same spot, and today we're actually drinking the same thing.
Yeah, coffee and Bailey's because we are recording in the morning. Wine seemed a little excessive.
It did. But everyone already knows that we love our Baileys.
Yes.
So, yes.
And it is the espresso Baileys, which is
so good. So good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chef's kiss. All right.
We need to even say anything more about that.
Everybody's like,
I want some too now.
Yeah. Okay, Trish. So how do we define employee development?
I actually really like this definition. So I'm going to share one from one of our many articles that we were looking through. All of the articles we reference, including my favorite stats, will be in today's show notes. So don't forget to check those out. So the definition, employee development is the method in which employees learn new skills and broaden their knowledge over time to grow their careers. With support and guidance from their employers. I love that. Mm-hmm. Support and guidance from their employers. Examples include onboarding, on-the-job training, classroom and online training, shadowing, coaching, mentoring, experiencing other parts of the organization, industry conferences, and networking. I love networking. And then finally, cross-training. That's such a great definition.
Yeah. Covers a wide variety of ways to develop your employees.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Julie, why do you think it's important?
Well, I think one of the main reasons is, as we were talking about last episode and in a few of the other episodes this season, lots of companies are facing a really tight job market and they're having trouble finding talent. So if you start developing your talent from within, that will hopefully help alleviate some of that pain point.
Oh, I love that. I'm guessing it would help with retention too, huh?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, 74% of employees say that a lack of professional development is preventing them from reaching their full potential.
74%?
74%,
yes. That's an incredible number.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean it's stats time?
It's stats time.
See, we need like a special song for stats time.
We do.
All right. So I have one for you. 59% of millennials say they find development opportunities extremely important when deciding whether to even apply for a position.
That's a big number.
That is a big number. That's so awesome.
Yeah. Also, a lack of opportunities for growth accounts for 37.1% of employee departures.
37%?
Yeah. Over a third.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've got one for you. Employees who find satisfaction in their jobs show a 20% increase in productivity over those who don't, which leads to productive companies boasting a 30 to 50% higher profit margin than their less productive counterparts.
That is a big boost to the bottom line.
Yes, it is. I love this. Let's keep going.
Yeah. Well, and then another interesting stat is that the average cost of turnover is $4,700 per employee. So you think about, even if you lose, you know, 10 to 12 employees a year, that can add up very quickly. So if we can use some of the tools we talk about today to help retain employees, we cut down on that turnover cost.
And I think if you lose them in like the first 90 days, that number even is higher, isn't
sure.
it?
Yeah.
I thought so. Yeah. So that's crazy. All right. I want to do another one with a big number. Ready?
Yep.
An MIT Sloan study found a 250% return on investment in just 8 months for an in-factory soft skills training.
Yeah, that's another big number.
It is.
Well, and then 76% of employees say they are more likely to stay with a company that offers continuous training.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So clearly, these are some fantastic numbers. Let me give you just a little more reason to develop your in-house employees. Number one, you will unlock their creativity mm-hmm. by giving them the opportunity to broaden themselves and to create new skills or hone the ones they already have. You are allowing them to do that, which will also, by the way, improve performance. Mm-hmm. It creates a goal-oriented mindset, which we all love.
Yep.
Anything that we can do to create goals, reach them, and grow. And then, of course, as we've already said, you're going to save money through employee retention.
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about what would be included in an employee development program.
Ooh, I like this.
So there are a number of things. You heard when Tricia was giving the definition, she mentioned a bunch of things that could be included in an employee development program. We're going to talk about some of the ones we like the most in a little bit more detail. So the first one that I'm going to start with is stretch assignments. So this is a part of having, you can call it whatever you want, but an employee development plan or an individual development plan for each employee. And part of what should be included in that plan is what they call stretch assignments, which are something that puts the employee a little bit out of their comfort zone, causes them to have to stretch to be able to accomplish something. So it helps them grow professionally, maybe even personally. And it helps the company in some way because they're learning a skill that the company needs.
Now, is this something that the company decides on, or is this something that the employee decides on? How do we get there?
I think it's a conversation between the employee and the manager.
Oh, yes. My gosh, a conversation?
Yeah, a conversation. Because it's got to be something the employee wants to do so they have buy-in, but it's got to also be something that is useful for the organization.
I love that. Okay, where am I going to go? Let me think. I think I'm going to go to 360-degree performance reviews. This is one of my favorites because it really gives you a broad idea of how the person is doing for every single person that they work for. So it's not just their direct manager, but maybe a skip level manager, or we've talked before about managing upward, sideways, et cetera. And obviously that is something that the manager can do and so can the employees. But when you're talking about these performance reviews, we're talking about really helping them grow because every single person that weighs in on these reviews is going to see something different. They're going to see a skill that maybe needs to be developed a little more, or they may see something that you didn't as a manager or as HR because they are working with them and they go, oh, they really did a great job here. Or, wow, they have this skill, but we need to develop it further. So it's just one more person to help spot those potential areas of growth.
I really like that because you probably get a lot of different perspectives than you normally would.
That's exactly what I was trying to say. Thank you.
Okay. How about mentoring programs? So I found this interesting. Over 70% of Fortune 500 companies have some sort of internal mentorship program. So they obviously have recognized that this is something that is very helpful for their employees. And when you have mentoring programs, your retention rates increase, productivity increases, a lot of the skills gaps close because you're sharing institutional knowledge oftentimes when you pair somebody who's been working in the company for a long time with somebody more junior or newer to the company. You transfer those skills and the culture becomes more inclusive because you have different sometimes generations talking to each other, you're bringing different groups together. So there's really no downside to a mentoring program other than the time that it takes both employees. But I think that's a small disadvantage given how many benefits you get from it.
Oh, 100% agree. And speaking of inclusivity, I would remind everyone out there, this is a great opportunity for HR and managers to work together to create one of these programs. And you also want to be the ones who are doing the pairing. What I have found in a lot of my research is that they say if you allow employees to pair themselves, they're going to pair themselves up with someone who looks like them or acts like them or something like that. So if you really want to build that inclusivity and really get the benefits that Julie was talking about, make sure that you are the one who's doing the pairing so that you can really get the full growth out of your program.
Yeah. And the mentoring pairing should be intentional. So you should be looking at, for example, what types of skills this person has to develop and pair them with somebody who has already developed those skills or who can help them develop those skills.
100% agree.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.
I was just thinking, I was like, ooh, speaking of helping developing skills, how about cross training? Mm.
Very important.
Yes, I think cross-training is a wonderful idea. It goes well with our discussion from our last episode as well, because if you do have employees who you can cross-train, when you do have people leaving, you can fill some of those gaps temporarily. Now, we, by the way, are not telling you to dump an entire new position on someone.
No.
That's not what we're saying. But we're saying cross-training allows your employees to develop skills that they wouldn't otherwise if they were just doing their single job. And they may find that they actually like these new skills that they're gaining from the cross-training and maybe even say to you, hey, I had no idea I was interested in this. I would like to grow, not go, grow in this direction.
Absolutely.
So what else?
So also giving your employees an opportunity to do their own development, self-guided development in topics that are interesting to them, but again, also useful for their position or to the company. So that can be done a lot of different ways, but one of them is offering some sort of online learning or training. And, you know, we've said it a couple of times, but we have been recording a whole bunch of courses and we're going to be releasing some online courses for managers and HR professionals later this year, hopefully in a couple of months here. So, you know, you can check those out. Small little plug. But any type of online learning or training can be really valuable. And that's a great thing to do if employees do have downtime. And it's usually pretty cost effective, but it can let them level up.
I like that. Oh, I'm going to go right on that one. Another way that they could do that. I saw this in an article. I never even thought about using YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A nice informal way of learning as well. What other kind of ways could they do some learning?
Another idea is having a job rotation program so that, again, it does go along with cross-training, but if you let people work in a particular job for a particular period of time, then they can pick up those new skills.
I like that. I think one of the other things that we have not said yet, but with every single one of these ideas, celebrate. As your employee learns new skills, as they put them to use, make sure that you are celebrating their growth and all of the new accomplishments that they're achieving.
Absolutely. It's very important. One of the other things I wanted to touch on is for our managers who are listening. So those of you who have a team, I think it's important to take stock of where you are as a leader when you are trying to figure out how to implement an employee development program for your team members. So there was a really interesting article from the University of Cambridge. Their human resource office developed a behavioral attributes framework that identifies four different levels of people development. And so it sort of describes leaders in different levels. So I'm going to read those real quick. But level A is a leader creates an environment where employees are motivated to achieve the organization's goals and their own personal development goals. They also continually look for ways to improve the organization's performance through its people. Level B, a leader who encourages employees to pursue learning opportunities and invest time in helping them close skill gaps. They also give clear direction and guidance to help employees grow. Level C, a leader who doesn't take an active role in people development, but encourages employees to pursue learning opportunities they're passionate about. Or level D, the leader takes ownership of their own performance and is willing to help others if the opportunity presents itself. We obviously want people to be in level A or B.
Absolutely.
But I think it's important because you may fall in any of these levels, but that doesn't mean that you couldn't try all of the tips we've talked about today and start moving up until you are in level A or B.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm. So again, we'll have a link to this in the show notes so that you guys can check it out, because I'm sure you weren't furiously writing down with pen and paper everything that I just said.
No. Here's the thing. The reason that we really wanted to focus on employee development, other than all of the stats that we shared with you, we just both believe that it's incredibly important for your employees to know that you support them in whatever it is that they're going to do, whatever kind of growth opportunity they're looking for, whatever kind of stretch they want to make, that you're going to be there to walk them through it. And that is one of the most crucial parts of retention. All of this does come down to happy employees.
Yep.
And a happy employee is more productive and they're going to stay with you, which again, that, what was it? $4,700 per employee.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money if yeah. you're losing a lot of employees every year.
Yeah. It adds up quickly. And like you said, it's probably higher if it's in the first 90 days and it's yeah. probably lower or higher depending on the industry. So I think that's one very useful thing all companies can do is figure out what their turnover cost is and yes. then maybe start implementing some of these things and see if retention rates go up and that turnover cost goes down. That's one way to measure success, because we do want to have a way to measure whether the employee development things that we're doing are actually working.
Return on investment.
Yes. Yeah. So figure out what you can measure. So again, you could start with your turnover costs. You can also do employee engagement surveys, do a baseline one before you implement the program, and then, you know, do a check-in every, I'd give it 90 days, do one at 90 days, maybe one at 6 months. you know, once a quarter to see what sort of results you're getting. And if people are reporting higher levels of engagement and satisfaction, then you know you're on to something.
I love this. The last thing that I want to say before we wrap up is, well, I actually just want to take it right back to the beginning, Jules. I want to focus on the fact that we are in a tighter job market. And I think that this is something that everyone could do really inexpensively. Mm-hmm. There are so many ways that you can create a program like this, work with your employees, even if you want to talk about employee engagement, like Julie was just saying, maybe talk to your employees, maybe create a group that is interested in this and get their ideas. Be a great way to engage your employees and also make them feel valued, which is, of course, always our key. So, what do you think? Any final thoughts?
I think we covered most of them. As we said, you know, I want to reiterate that the one stat that really stuck out to me, which is 76% of employees say they are more likely to stay with a company that offers continuous training. As we've talked about in this episode, that training does not necessarily have to be formalized training. It can be on-the-job training. It can be from a mentor. It could be cross-training, some of that informal networking, mentors outside the organization, mentors inside the organization, coaching. There's a wide variety of ways that you can give people that continuous training. But the point is that if you give them ways to learn and grow, they're more likely to stay with you for longer, contribute more, and help the company in turn increase their bottom line, which we all know that's what most of this is about. So, you know, if you need a business case for why employee development is so important, that's it.
Period. Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, how is your Bailey's?
Gone.
Oh, no. Well, then I think it's time to say goodbye to our friends.
Yes.
And tell them that we will see them soon. And please follow us on social so that you get those updates on when we are releasing our new classes, if you're looking for a more formalized training method.
Yes. Yes. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll catch you on the next time. Cheers.
Cheers.